Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to his holy name, who is sitting on the right hand of the Father and is coming soon for his people. And we ask you, are you ready for his second coming? Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio station program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about spiritual blindness. So we invite you to get your Bible, your highlighter, a place to take notes. We're going to be diving into some scriptures and seeing different aspects of what the Bible speaks about in regards to this topic. Remember, you can write to us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can visit us at redemptionandpower.com. You can also find us on our Facebook, as well as download our past podcasts on iTunes. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you for everything you do and everything you have done in every one of our lives. Lord, tonight we ask you to teach us to be able to teach your people, Father, your word, of the importance of knowing what spiritual blindness is, Father, and that how we can turn and come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Come, O Spirit. Comfort true, help us by your pleading. Come and every heart renew, breath of God proceeding. You alone to God can win us, Spirit.
Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name, Lord Jesus. We come before you in your glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you tonight that you will endow us with the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, to speak forth your word to your people, Lord, that you may feed your people tonight with this bread, Father. Father, use us for your glory in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Have you ever met someone who is spiritually blind? To be spiritually blind means that the person is incapable of understanding or comprehending the truth of the Word of God. These are people who deny Christ and refuse to accept the true message of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. On the other hand, there are others who have accepted Christ but can't tell the difference between the true word of God and the false teaching. These people have chosen to follow a man's word rather than God's. 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Since the beginning, Satan's job has been to trick people from believing the truth. One of the reasons why people are spiritually blind is because they love the things of the world and refuse to change. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. They feel that becoming a Christian is too much to bear, since it would require them to give up things like illicit sex, drugs, and clubbing. Satan blinds them to believe that God's message is nothing more than a fairy tale, and life has more to offer to them. What many people don't understand is that every choice we make comes with a consequence. It caused Adam and Eve to be expelled from the presence of God, and it will cause you eternal punishment. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Yet others choose to follow after false teachings. And this is something that saddens me. People have chosen to follow after a man rather than God. Today, the precious message of God has been altered. And it's sad to say, but people can't see it. Blindness has infiltrated the body of Christ and the church. These teachers have now taken the place of God by calling themselves spiritual father. They have also turned the truth into a way for them to become rich. They are even telling people that we can buy God's favor by sowing a seed, and he will grant us a healing. Jesus warns us about these false teachers in the scriptures. Matthew 15:12-14. Later his disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees are deeply offended by what you said? Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be pulled up by the roots. Return, Jesus. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and when one blind man leads another blind man, they will both fall into the ditch." Friends, it breaks my heart when I see people that choose the things of the world over God, especially when you hear of a man that calls himself a man of God and twists the scriptures in order to gratify his own personal needs and continue to lead many people astray. However, this is a personal choice that each one of us has to make, and it does bring a consequence. The word of God is clear. Leave the things of the world and the false teaching before you become contaminated. seek the truth, and read your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough?
Why is it that so many individuals cannot see the glory of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why is it that men would rather place their trust upon unproven theories as opposed to the God who has revealed himself through his creation and his word? Why is it that many would rather take their chances with their own righteousness as opposed to the righteousness of Christ? Why is it that in this country and in the world we have many so-called Christians that can sin in congregations who clearly promulgate false doctrine and heretical teachings that are contrary to the Word of God? Among many reasons, including pride, the Bible tells us the many dangers of being spiritually blind. Spiritual blindness is the reason many cannot see the consequences of sin and are led to eternal damnation. It's the reason you can talk to an unbeliever and quote verses and show them clear proof of the gospel until you are blue in the face, connect every dot, cross every T, and yet they still leave just as empty as they came. It's the reason why so many can sit under the deception of charlatan preachers. Spiritual blindness is the reason why many did not come to the knowledge of the truth during the time of Christ's ministry. No matter how many incredible signs and wonders he did, some just would not believe. Now, there are a few reasons why a person may become spiritually blind. Brother Lewis just mentioned a few, and I want to touch on a couple of other reasons. And the first one I want to touch is willful blindness. In Matthew 13, Jesus Christ teaches us the parable of the sower. And afterwards, his disciples come and ask him a question. And Matthew 13 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even to that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive." And here is the key verse in Matthew 13:15. It says, "For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Jesus says that the reason this people are not able to see is because they've made themselves willfully blind because of their hearts, he says, have waxed gross. And another version says their hearts have grown callous. And the Greek word that is used is the word pachuno, and it means to make thick, to make fat, metaphorically to make stupid or to render the soul dull or callous. Their hearts were numb. They have no feeling. And doesn't that describe the society that we live in today? It's not a coincidence that we are seeing in our society an increase in fascination in zombies. And that is because it is a reflection of our nation's cultural condition. People are void of emotion. They are constantly looking for greater and stronger gratification to experience some form of emotion. People medicate their problems away. Horror movies have become more and more gruesome. Video games to which our children are being exposed have become more violent and even satanic. Sexual perversion has expanded to things that had never been seen in any civilized society. They are the walking dead. Their hearts are so insensitive that they care not to see the truth, and therefore they will not see the truth. And the only cure for individuals is this, is the supernatural power of God. Paul, before his conversion, was bent on the destruction of Christians. But Christ knocked him off his horse and blinded him physically for 3 days so that he may see the truth, that he was Christ, the Savior. And the only way these individuals will see is if God removes their stony, callous hearts and gives them a new one. Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit, and I will put within you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." We see here that only God can remove a stony, callous heart, and in place for a real heart. And the second type of spiritual blindness that we see is a blindness that comes about by the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And look at what he says here, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Paul says here that the God of this world has blinded their minds of them which believe not. And we know that the God of this world is Satan himself, and he uses many tactics to blind people from coming to the knowledge of truth. He uses false religions. False religion is a powerful tool used today by the devil. It is what's caused the Pharisees to falsely accuse Christ. It was what led Paul to persecute and kill Christians before his conversion. It has been what has caused countless lives to fall prey to the sword of Islam. Look at what Christ says in John 16:2. He says, "They shall put you out of their synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service." Why is it that those that kill Christians think that they do God a service? And that is because they have not known the true God. They have known a false God, a false religious system that has blinded them from seeing the truth. Therefore, in their twisted belief, they commit all manner of evil against the people of God. In India, many Christians have been slaughtered by Hindu sects in service to their many false gods. In the US, many Satanists, humanists, and atheists wage war against the country's Christian heritage. The devil also uses spiritual, counterfeit spiritual experiences to deceive. We're seeing so many phenomenons today in so-called Christendom that are not authenticated by the Word of God. In fact, John tells us in the book of Revelations that the devil will do many false signs and wonders and deceive many. Revelations 13:11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." And here's the verse, and it says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did leave." The beast in Revelation uses signs and wonders to deceive many. The fact that many today have been lured into heresy through counterfeit signs and wonders is an indicator that we are closer to the coming of Christ than what we think we are. John tells us that the beast causes fire to come down. And this may or may not be literally, but it tells us something very important. The beast will counterfeit the works of the Holy Spirit. He will convince many that God authenticates him. We find in many places in the Old Testament in reference to which God brings down fire from the sky. In Exodus 13 and 14, God appears as a pillar of fire. In 2 Kings chapter 1, upon Elijah's call, God brings down fire from the sky and consumes the soldiers that come to take Elijah. And finally, in 2 Chronicles 7, fire comes down to consume the sacrifice at the inauguration of the temple. We see that the beast will use this to deceive many into believing that he is sent by God. And we have to be careful with those signs and wonders, preachers who use witchcraft to get you to drink their poisonous doctrines. Don't just look at the signs, but examine the fruit. Examine their life. And don't let anyone whom you have not witnessed walking in a godly life according to the word of God ever lay hands upon you. Satan is out to deceive, he is out to destroy, and we have to be studying continually our Bibles and not be ignorant of Satan's devices. And the very last type of blindness, and probably the worst, is judicial blindness brought by the Lord. This is the blindness which God brings upon an individual or even a nation. In the book of Deuteronomy, One of the consequences of rejecting God's commandments was spiritual blindness. In Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord says, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." God brings blindness on those who, being shown His word, reject it. And Paul gives us an example in Romans 11:25 that spiritual blindness has been placed upon the Jewish people until the fullness of the Gentiles. And this is the same things that happen to those that would follow after false teachers. God gives them over to those false teachings because they love not the truth. Look at what 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says. And it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And look at this next verse. This next verse is key. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Brothers and sisters, this is very deep. God blinds those that reject the truth. God, speaking about homosexuality, but speaks to any that indulge in willful sin. God gives them over to a reprobate mind in the book of Romans. Romans 1:28 says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Here, Paul says that those that reject the truth of God, God gives them over to a reprobate mind. God gives them over to a mind who cannot see the truth anymore. Since they reject the truth of God, eventually they reach a point where they will no longer be able to see the truth. It gets to a point, brothers and sisters, that if we reject the Holy Spirit's conviction upon our hearts, that He will stop and He will let us be. And it will get to a point where God will give us over to spiritual blindness, to a delusion. But the scripture says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call ye upon while He is near. And the truth is that only God can heal spiritual blindness. What is so dangerous about spiritual blindness is that those who are spiritually blind are also blind to the fact that they are blind. Therefore, nothing short of the power of God can open up the eyes of the blind. And from my studies, I could not find a single instance in the Old Testament of a blind person being healed. In fact, the healing of the blind was a specific miracle to be performed by the Messiah when He came. Look at what Isaiah 42:6 says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness," is speaking about the Messiah, "and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." And we look at when Jesus opens up His ministry in the book of Luke. He says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Here we see that part of Jesus' ministry was to open up the eyes of the blind. And as much as this is applied to physical healing of blindness, I believe it also applies to spiritual blindness. Jesus is the only one that could open up the eyes of the blind so they may see the truth of God. We as Christians must continue to pray for our lost family members, our lost co-workers, people we know that are involved in false religious movements, And often these individuals are so hard against the truth that God must employ tragedy in their lives to open up their eyes. But nevertheless, God is faithful. And let us continue to pray that we not ever reject the truth and become blind ourselves, and that those who are blind, that Christ may heal.
Amen. And Brother Javer, I think that one of the ways that the devil is using people to fall into his trap is now in churches, the Bible have been replaced by booklets. Today in many churches, instead of having people go home and read a scripture from the Bible and meditate on it and have Bible studies and group studies, well, instead of doing that, they give them a booklet with something already prepared by their church. Now, the problem with that a lot of the stuff that these people are giving out is not the truth. And a lot of people are falling for these lies. And a lot of them also say that, you know, that you spoke about earlier about, you know, the fruits, to see the fruits, and they talk about how big their churches are. Well, the truth of the matter is that a lot of these huge churches are not following the ways of God. And they're the ones that are blind. And they need, you know, somebody that will be able to tell them the truth. And, you know, talking to a lady not too long ago, she says, but, you know, I don't know what to tell my family. Well, there's something you need to tell them. Because the Bible says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gates, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And we definitely don't want to see any of our family members going into the wrong, the wrong way. And we need to do whatever we need to do to so they can see the truth. And I know it's not easy because I've spoken with people that, you know, are going to some of these churches and they don't understand. You try to explain to them with the scriptures in hand and they just go by, well, this is what my pastor said and this is what I'm supposed to believe.
The issue is we have to ask ourselves, what is the authority in our lives? Is it a specific man in a specific position, or is it the Word of God? And that's something that's very important. One of the things that we look in the life of Paul, there was a circumstance in when him and Peter had a confrontation regarding some issues with the Gentiles. And one of the things we see in Paul is that even though he knew that Peter was a disciple that actually walked with Christ, that did not stop him from confronting him and telling him the truth, because he knew that whom he has to answer is to the Lord, and that a man is just a man. But when somebody steps over the line of the Word of God, we are told to exhort one another. In fact, the writer of Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we go into a path of heresy, if we go into a path of false teaching, the Bible speaks about the deceitfulness of sin, the aspect of when we fall into error that eventually would cause us to stray away from the path of God. And that's why it's so important for us to stick to the Word as much as we can, and to flee from those men who preach otherwise. Flee from those systems, those religious systems that speak contrary to the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that keeps us centered in the path in which we are walking. And I believe this verse also speaks about when we talk to other Christians that perhaps don't have the knowledge of the Word, and God puts it in our hearts for us to exhort those individuals that perhaps haven't read it, so they may see the light of the truth of the Word of God and be able to correct whatever error is being caused in their life. Of course, we have to make sure that when we do confront individuals, that we are careful to say, not necessarily what we say, but how we say it. The Bible tells us that, yes, we ought to speak the truth, but it's not separated from speaking the truth in love. One of the things we have to examine ourselves, do I want to tell this individual that he is wrong because I want to show him that he's wrong? Or do I want to tell this individual because I truly care about his soul? I truly care that if he continues in his path, he's going to be lost. What is the motive in our hearts? Because we can often say the truth and mean it for different reasons. Like confronting someone from another sect, from a false religious sect, and we show them all the verses and we win the argument, but did we really win the person? Did really the love and compassion of Christ come through us, and were they able to see something different in us? Or are we just filled with facts? The Bible calls us to love, to do things in love, and that is no exception when we are bringing correction to a brother or a sister that has incorrect doctrine. Nevertheless, we should not compromise the truth. And that's something that's very important. Often in the society that we live in today, feel that truth must be compromised for love. But no, the scriptures makes no claim. When Jesus spoke, he spoke firmly, he spoke with love, but yet he spoke the truth. And we as Christians are commanded to do the same.
When the morning breaks, when the evening falls, I will write your word upon my heart, O Lord. When the fires burn, when the rain comes down, I can feel your grace flow through me without the sounds. Without a sound, and nothing is certain, but I'm certain of you. And pull back this curtain, let your light in this room. No, that's true. I find in you the more I drink of your word, the more I thirst for you. When and the sun just flickers out, I will write your word upon my heart, O Lord. When the stars crash down at the end of the age, I can feel your touch as you wipe my tears away. As you wipe my tears away. And nothing is certain, but I'm certain of you. And pull back this curtain, your light in this room, and all that's true. I find in you the more I drink of you.
one of the aspects of spiritual blindness also had a lot to do and is shown forth in the way that we as Christians relate with one another. Look at what 1 John says. It says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes." And this is something very, very important, and very often an aspect that we overlook. Often a believer's spiritual health can be seen in the way in which he relates to his brothers and sisters. And it's often people that, for some reason, cannot get along in any relationships. And one of the things that we have to understand that in the body of Christ, often God puts us with people that are totally opposite than who we are. In fact, I believe that's true as well in our marriages. And that is because God is trying to teach us something. He is trying to teach us to be able to love unconditionally in the way in which He loves us. In fact, the word that John uses here is the word agape, is a love, unconditional love. Regardless of the faults that we carry, regardless of the issues that we struggle with, we as brothers and sisters need to look upon each other with mercy. We are to be gentle with one another and use wisdom even in the exhortation in which we exhort one another. Brothers and sisters, this is something very important, and especially as the times get darker, we must get closer in unity and come closer together as a family of Christ. We see here those that do not have this love for the brethren, have not seen or do not walk in the light of Christ. Brothers and sisters, God calls us as Christians to a higher standard than the world. The world only gives when it gets. The world gives to receive. But we give because we have the love of Christ in us. And we serve each other because of that love. And those who serve with that love have seen the light of Christ and have seen how Christ has served them. And they are able to relay that service to other brothers and sisters.
Amen. Also, the way we can overcome spiritual blindness is opening our hearts to God. Because a lot of people, you know, they say things and they say they're Christians, yet they're not living according to the will of God. And God needs to not only be in our mouth, but be in our hearts. So that way He can transform us and we could receive our sight back. To be able to receive fresh revelation from God. One thing that I read was that the Apostle Paul was never taught by any men. That he was taught through the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing that we receive when we allow our hearts to be open to God. Where He could communicate to us and teach us His Word. And I exhort everyone to search out the Scriptures and seek God, and you will find the truth.
Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us a wonderful, I guess I would call it, process in which we entail and in which we journeying in the Christian life that will help us to prevent from ever incurring spiritual blindness or walking in darkness. Look at what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4. He says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then he says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is very important because Peter is saying here, if these things are happening in you, if there is a process in your life in which you are growing, and I recommend for you to study what every specific virtue in which he's speaking about here means. But he says, if those things are found in you, that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at what he says in the next verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. A sign of a Christian that is able to see and continue a remembrance that Christ forgave him of his sins is that there is a progression in his life. And those who do not have are not progressing in the Christian life, here Peter says, is because they are blind and they do not have in remembrance what Christ did for them. And this is something very important, brothers and sisters, because often we have so many people today that feel that they can just cruise the Christian life, that they can just sit and go to church and that's fine, but there's no real growth, there's no real fruit that is being born in their lives. And here is a checklist in which we can examine our lives to see if there has really been a progression. Every day as we grow in holiness, we should still be seeking a greater holiness in our lives, because we're never going to be perfect until the day of Christ's return. But that doesn't mean that we stop seeking, because God wants to go deeper and deeper in our hearts. We're never going to be at a point where we can say, okay, we're here, we're done, that's it, I can just chill and relax. No, God is continually challenging us to move forward and deeper into the walk with him. And he says in the verse 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What is he speaking about here? That you should never fall from the faith, that you will never be deceived, that you will not be led into these false churches, false congregations, false religions, that you would not be given to false interpretations, but that you would be steadfast in your walk with Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful promise, and we should all study this specific portion of Scripture so that we may never fall by the power of our God, of the Holy Spirit, of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Glory be to his name.
And yes, brother, and that's one of the tricks of the devil, exactly what you just mentioned. He wants to keep us in a position where we think that living sinful lives, it's okay. And that we can continue living in this matter and still be accepted by God. Spiritual blindness has to do with not being able to understand the Word of God, but it also has to do with not being able to understand what's going on in our personal life. And a lot of us, sadly to say, need to check ourselves. We need to check our life, whether we are walking according to the will of God or not. Because many people can't perceive the things of God. We need to live by what the Bible calls us to live, not what we think or what the devil is trying to make us believe it's okay.
And what often keep people from seeing the truth is the pride in their hearts. The Bible teaches us that we must be lovers of truth. Now, the Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of men rather than God, the Scripture says. If people, or many people that would call themselves Christians, would revere the Word of God as they should, there would not be as much deceit as we are seeing today. We would not see these money preachers prospering. We would see that the church will continue to grow, but because many Christians are not practicing what is in the Word of God, and instead have made themselves a vain god in their minds, we have lost our salt here in this nation. And what does Jesus say? If its salt loses its savor, it must be cast out and trodden under foot of men. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about persecution. persecution comes to a people that are spiritually blind. Look at what happened in the time of Jeremiah. They would not listen to the prophet that spoke the truth, but yet because of their spiritual blindness, they were listening to those prophets that said that they would prosper and that they will overcome their enemies, but yet they were still in their sins of idolatry. How can we expect God to bless a people who are living in contrary to the word of God? We have to understand, yes, God is a God of love, but He is a God of justice. He is a God of judgment, and will bring down His justice, especially on those who call themselves after His name. Brothers and sisters, we must take heed. We must take heed when we spend time with the Lord to ask Him to reveal to us the truth. Because the Bible says in the book of John that the Holy Spirit will reveal us, will lead us into all truth. But the key here is, are we listening to Him? Or are we listening to the vain, futile desires of our hearts?
Amen. And that's why those people back then, you know, heard what they wanted to hear with the false prophet. And that's what they want to hear today. That it's about fun. It's about self-gratification. It's about believing that, you know, we're going to receive all these wonderful things. Except, you know, following the truth. When you tell somebody that they have to commit to God, when you tell them that it was going to require a sacrifice to following Jesus, people don't really want to hear that. What they want to hear is for you to tell them that they're going to be rich, that everything is going to be possible, that they're going to run around, you know, with expensive cars and millions of dollars, and they're never going to be sick. That's what people want to hear. And that's what the crowd flocked to. But when you tell them that you have to be a servant, and you have to help the needy, and you have to visit the sick, that's not something that attract people, Brother Javier. You know, that's not something that people want to hear. And that's definitely not something that people want to commit. But you know what? We want to tell you the truth. The truth is what Jesus said, and the truth is what the Bible says. That God requires us to submit to Him, to be as servants, and to follow His direction. Not anybody that's going to fool you, because they have a personal agenda behind it.
And Brother Lewis, that's why that's called the spiritual whoredom. People that want to reap the benefits without commitment. And this is what these people want out of God. They want His blessing, but they don't want to submit to His word. And that just won't fly. The Lord, the scripture says, the Lord cannot be mocked. And it's very important for us to examine our lives. Do we want God's blessings without giving ourselves? The Bible says that we ought to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. When the animal was laid upon the fire, he was laid completely. It was burned up completely. And this is the visual image that we receive when Paul says that we give ourselves a living sacrifice. That we are to give ourselves entirely. There is this is not a half commitment. This is a full commitment in which the scripture says we are bought. Because we were slaves. We were slaves of sin. Now the Bible calls us to be servants of righteousness. And the same Greek word is the same word that says slave, so we ought to be slaves of righteousness. And that, unfortunately, is not a popular idea. It's not a popular truth.
And that's something, Brother Javier, that the rich man couldn't do. Because Jesus told him, sell everything you have, give up everything, give it back to the people, and turn and come to me.
Well, we ran out of time tonight, but we thank you for listening. Remember, you can find us on our website, redemptionandpower.com. You can write to us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com, and find us on Facebook as well as on iTunes. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of His coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce His kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Stout its heart to pluck me from thy love.